Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. True believers of all kinds keep grabbing the world's headlines. Don't confuse their belief with religion, says our guest James Carse. He's author of The Religious Case Against Belief. He's also a widely known and admired former professor of the history and philosophy of religion and an author. Belief, Jim Carse says, is the tool of all kinds of authoritarians, from religious fundamentalists to Nazis and what he calls American exceptionalists. Committed believers often have no religion at all. So if belief is so destructive, why does James Carse champion religion?
There is no point in our everyday existence at which we could not stop and be stunned by what's happening. Absolutely amazed that we exist even, and how easily we forget that. And I think one of the great services that religion does is to urge us at every moment to be stunned, to find the place marvelous, our existence, our own existence, and the world in which we find it.
James Carse is the author of The Religious Case Against Belief. In addition to Finite and Infinite Games, A Vision of Life as Play and Possibility, The Silence of God, Breakfast at the Victory, and Gospel of the Beloved Disciple. For many years, Professor Carse enlightened viewers of CBS TV in New York City. He's now retired after more than 30 years at New York University, where he also led NYU's Religious Studies program. Bill Russell and I were happy to travel to Western Massachusetts to continue the conversation we began in 1995 when Jim Carse literally braved a blizzard to be guest on the very first Paula Gordon Show.
James Carse, I had very recently at an Asian restaurant a beautiful orange thing that I got in my head was a carrot flower. And I use, to use your term, a homely metaphor. They had made it into it was beautiful, a flower thing, and we took it home so I could figure out how to do it, so I could do a pretty presentation like that, and opened it up, and it didn't look a thing like a carrot. Although I had it in my head, it was a carrot. I had come to believe that this was carrot, and then I tasted it. Didn't look like a carrot, didn't taste like a carrot, didn't smell like a carrot, but my belief was it was a carrot.
I hope it wasn't. It wasn't wax or something.
I don't know what it was. I have to go to the international store and find.
I got there first, and I went through the drill. Except I was convinced that it was a carrot because I didn't know. I didn't fully explain. It was, you know, it's this big around. So
carrot can be that big.
So, but the first four bites, I ate three or four petals before she got to it, and I ate a carrot. I mean, it tasted like a carrot.
Right.
I mean, the commitment to the fact that it was a carrot was not going to influence my ability to taste.
Well, now, why would you think that I'm talking about my belief?
Yeah, I'm not really puzzled about this. it's a very nice way to frame the issue, because when you looked at that carrot, whatever that is, what was it, by the way?
I think it was probably a form of radish.
Oh, right.
That was an Asian vegetable with which I am unfamiliar. Okay. But they had formed it into a flower-ish thing.
Right.
So.
And it was seriously, it was carrot-colored and carrot-textured.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Right.
So,
reasonable.
It was a vegetable, okay?
Well,
orange,
you know,
vegetable.
Yeah, let's start there. It was a reasonable thought that got you to this. But at a certain point, you stopped your thinking. And that's when you started believing. So that's what we call belief, actually, or that's what we usually mean by belief, the point where you stop your thinking. And when you go beyond that, characteristically, you're not believing. You're still inquiring, you're wondering, you're asking questions about it. You're open to any other suggestion or discovery. So that your belief cut you off and made you eat something you didn't like.
And it was alarming to me.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I believed it was carrot.
Sure.
And again, it may sound homely, to use your wonderful word, but it was very real to me. And it sort of takes the conversation out of the contention, the contentiousness around belief and religion.
Right.
Okay, let's just start with a carrot.
Yeah.
I found myself somewhat dismayed that it tasted wrong, it smelled wrong, and my thought process, and of course we like to think that we are thoughtful creatures. The next step then is for me to ask you, having talked about my commitment to the carrot, when I think there is a visceral understanding of belief.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes the belief passes understanding. How do you get to the core difference between belief then and what many people would think of as either religion or ideology, and can I put those in the same sentence?
Well, by belief or belief system, which is what I prefer to talk about, I mean roughly ideology. And what I mean by that is having a comprehensive, complete explanation for anything that's going on, and you know, anything inside or outside the belief system. Inside, it's perfectly rational. Everyone, that's why it seemed reasonable to you that it was a carrot. The belief system also it gets sort of socially and personally more complicated. That you've got to invest it with a certain commitment to authority and so on. Ideology is a good. The both words work, but the reason I prefer belief system, by the way, is that it gives a better sense of how comprehensive, what a network it is, not just a couple ideas, but ideas that fit together really beautifully. I've studied and taught a lot of Marx and Hegel, for example. That stuff is beautiful when you get in there. It works so well. It is. It's fun to teach. You can explain amazing number of things. You can see why it'd be fascinating to academics. They loved it when it first appeared. In fact, Hegel, whose philosophy really formed Marxist thought, has had a huge impact on all of modern thought. Most people don't know that. Most people don't even know the name. But inside most ideological, political kinds of thinking is that sense of completeness that Hegel was brilliant at achieving.
And that's one of the good news, bad news elements of a belief system, is that sense of commitment. Let us come back in just a moment with Dr. James Carse, whose most recent contribution to our ways of thinking is called The Religious Case Against Belief. We'll explore that with him when we come back in just a moment.